Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Acts chapter 6. Now, at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, I want to pause there and take that in for a moment. In the book of Acts, in the early church, we are seeing the expansion of Christianity, and we're seeing thousands of people come to faith in Jesus. And I want to just capture for a moment what I see happening in the early church. So, one thing is, the gospel message is fresh, right? Jesus had recently died, resurrected, showed himself, ascended, and now the Holy Spirit is upon all those who believe, and the message is fresh. And have you ever felt like that in your Christian life, where it's like the gospel message, the word of God, and your faith was like fresh. It was like real. It was like vibrant. I don't think fresh always has to be early, meaning it's just because this happened so many years ago and that they were launching the church. And yes, that was an exciting time. But my point is that I think we can keep our faith fresh today. It doesn't have to become complacent. It doesn't have to become stale. It can become vibrant when we wholeheartedly believe, when we take a look at this word and realize it's living and realize the same spirit living in them is living inside of us. So that's one thing. We need to keep the gospel message and faith burning with inside of us and keep the message fresh. Number two, they had just had Pentecost and the Holy Spirit was alive to them and was real to them. And you know what? That can be that way today. The Holy Spirit can be alive in you and can be real in you. And, you know, as I read the scriptures, I just feel like the church and even the one I lead, at times, we're just not as in tune to the Holy Spirit as what we could. And may we do that more. May we understand the filling of the Holy Spirit, that it's been poured out upon us. And may we acknowledge the Spirit daily. You know, one of the things I do, I haven't talked about it in quite a while, but I have a way I pray in the morning, and I do it daily. And it's called Ask, I Pray, and I begin with adoration, and then I begin with acknowledging the Holy Spirit. And then I go into His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as is in heaven. And then intercession, I pray for others, and then I pray for prayer requests that I have, and I go through it. Repentance, what do I need to repent of, and loving and forgiving others, and then finally acknowledging Yahweh as my deliverer. It's an acronym, Ask, I Pray. But anyways, I daily acknowledge God's Holy Spirit and that I need Him, and I can do so much better, but I'm just letting you know what I do to try to remember God's presence is in me, in us who believe, and we need to keep the message fresh. And we need to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. If we do that, I think we'll have more similar faith to these early people. Now, what's the other thing that I see? Besides their freshness, besides they're alive in the Holy Spirit, is they speak freely. I've talked about this before, but boldness means to free speak, to speak freely. And we just need to not be inhibited and suppressed. We need to speak more openly about Jesus. So if we keep our faith fresh, if we remember the Holy Spirit, and if we speak freely about the things of Jesus Christ, I think in our day, people too can find out about Jesus and the church can grow. And praise God, our church is growing. Hallelujah. All right, so now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews. Now, I want to explain that. There was a significant thing that was happening in the days of Jesus and really over the past couple hundred years, and it was called Hellenism. So the Roman Empire had now taken over control of the region. As we've talked about many times, the Jews did not have a country, but they were allowed to worship God in Jerusalem at the temple. Well, the common language in the Roman Empire was becoming the Greek language, and that was the language that people would speak and learn. Now, the Jews were especially like authentic Jews who really wanted to follow Judaism. They continued studying the Bible in Hebrew, which was the original language of the Bible in the Old Testament. So they were sticking to their Hebrew roots and reading and studying the Bible in Hebrew. And one of the reasons they did that is because they wanted to take it in its original language. You know, when you translate a Bible, you are going to lose some original nature of the Bible. I mean, that is a challenge for us today. When we read the Bible in English, you know, we miss some Hebrew understanding. We miss some Greek understanding in the New Testament. And that's why it helps. You know, I use the Blue Letter Bible is something that I use daily to help understand the scriptures. And one of the things I use Blue Letter Bible for is to look up the Bible in original language, both in Hebrew and Greek, and see what cultural things I can learn by looking up words in their original wording and original meaning of their word, so I don't lose as much in English. So praise God, we do have the Bible in our own language. That's a good thing, I think, but we don't want to lose the heritage of the Bible. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. We need to have a Hebrew understanding. We don't want to lose the culture. And that's exactly what the Hebrew people were concerned about. They're like, you know what? The Bible in their day was being translated into Greek, Old Testament. So now their children were growing up and beginning to learn the Bible, Old Testament, in Greek. And they're like, we're going to lose our Hebrew roots. We're going to lose our Jewish understanding if we allow this. So they were against Hellenism, the Hebrews were. They were against everything being done in Greek and their Bible being translated in Greek because they wanted to keep their roots. And the Hellenists said, no, we need to kind of get with the times and we need a Bible in our native tongue. And I don't think necessarily either one of them is wrong. It's just that even when you have a Bible that's translated in your language, you still need to see the Bible through a Jewish lens. And you know, the Hebrew culture and Greek culture were different. So indeed, some things are going to be lost if you forsake looking at the Bible in its Hebrew roots. So they kind of had a division, these Hellenists who wanted to see things go more in a Greek way, and the Hebrews who wanted, they had division between them. And the division was about their widows who were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. Let's see, which ones? A complaint arose on part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews. So appears the Hellenist widows were being overlooked. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. So everyone was kind of looking to the apostles to referee all the problems. And if they were just found refereeing all the problems or doing all the daily tasks, they wouldn't be able to serve God wholeheartedly in ministry of the word and in prayer. So they're like, we need to get some people in place. And this is where you kind of see like the first deacons here of the church, people who are going to serve the church and allow these apostle leaders to, you know, continue in the ministry of the word and prayer. So, therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. It's amazing, you know, they're having to have someone referee this problem of widows getting overlooked. And man, they want to make sure they pick men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. You know, maybe there was enough contention here that they felt that they needed people who could handle the dissension between people and have the kind of spiritual wisdom to handle it. But in verse 4, it says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the apostles were going to continue in that function. And, you know, I think that's important. And, you know, it just gives me a chance to say thank you to all the people who serve our body. And you should see the list of maintenance things between, you know, we have 4 buildings at our church. You know, some are rented out to other people, but we still have to maintain them. And there's a long list of things that needs to get done. And We have people that are devoted to working on all those things, and I do stay connected to that stuff. But I'm glad that they free me up to be able to teach every day the Word of God like this, and spend time in ministry of the Word and prayer. So thank you for all of you for your service to our church. So this is what they decided, and the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. What a formal, anointed kind of thing they're doing to do this task. It's really quite special, even though it might be a task that, like serving food to the widows, that you wouldn't think maybe would have, this kind of prayerful dedication, but yet they did. And there's an example to us. Every part of serving God is important, and we need everyone who serves God and whatever task they're serving to be men and women of the Holy Spirit and of the Word, and good people that are honoring the Lord in every area of service. May that be a challenge to any of us, no matter where we're serving. I think that's good to think about. No matter what capacity I'm serving in, it's still important for me to be a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, no matter what task. We can all be solid followers of Jesus, no matter what our area of service is. Verse 7, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And a great many of the priests, so this would be the Levitical priests, were now becoming obedient to the faith, the Christian faith. So people are leaving Judaism and coming to faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. And some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came up to him and dragged him away and brought him before the council. They put forward a false witness who said, "This man incessantly speaks against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Nazarene Jesus will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us." And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. And as we'll see in the next chapter, this man Stephen was a bold speaker, and he knew Judaism extremely well. We'll see that. He lays out in a moment the history of Judaism, but I also think he did speak, as we'll see, forcefully. And, indeed, the customs of Moses have been altered in the way that we need to follow them anyways in the New Testament church. And he probably began to teach about the changes that were taking place, and even talked about how, Jerusalem will be destroyed. He probably did do that, because Jesus predicted that, by the way, back in, Matthew 24. So he was not hesitant to say whatever needed to be said. And sometimes I think he probably came across as really bold, and perhaps not everything they're saying about him is wrong as far as what he was speaking against the Jewish people, as we'll see in a moment. Even though he knew Judaism, he was letting them know, man, Jesus has come now to make changes and to fulfill, and there's going to be changes to Judaism now, and now the one to follow is Christ. Well, guess what? The Jews didn't really want to hear that. Some of them did come to Christ, but some were very resistant to the, you know, kind of putting down of their Judaism and their transformation that was being asked of them to follow Jesus. And that's what he's going to do. And it's quite a chapter, and that's what we'll see in chapter 7. But let's keep the message fresh, church. Let's keep the Holy Spirit always in us and reminding ourselves of the power of God that's in us. And let's speak freely about Jesus. And as we do those things, I believe we too will see disciples grow. God bless you all.